Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And Friday here in Vancouver, the air out there is a bit hazy, but it seems like a soft, pleasant day.
It's not pouring rain. In Vancouver, that's a sunny day. As long as it's not pouring rain, that's sunny.
Yeah.
We have a question from Michael Bob to open up the show. Hi, Bob. The interest rates have gone up in the past couple of weeks while the cost of corporate bonds has been going down. Do you think it's still a good time to get into corporate bonds?
No. No. The interest rate pattern in following a great bubble are complex. And as we point out, short rates, such as for treasury bills, can go down. And long rates for low-grade bonds can go up as the price, as bidders disappear. And in a full liquidity crisis, even the price for long-dated treasuries can go down so that yields go up. So our view is that a very happy place could be in the 3 to 4 year term good grade bonds. That's not long term bonds, that's 3 to 4 years. So you'll get a decent return and the price whipsaws would be quite limited because in, say you go for 3 years, 3 years time they're redeemed at par. So no, it's a good place to be, but you want to have your head straight on this one. It is 3 to 4 year corporate bonds, not long term.
Now, Michael said interest rates have gone up the last couple of weeks. Why would that happen? The Fed and the Bank of Canada cut interest rates from what's supposed to be the trend-setting rate, but do people actually follow that?
Yeah, but he doesn't mention whether it's short rates or long rates he's talking about, so I tried to fill it in.
Mm-hmm. Now, could that be a case of some institutions boosting interest rates to cover defaults?
No, it's just the market forces at work. They're perceiving an increased probability of risk and liquidity disappearing, so some long rates have gone up, and the T-bill rate has gone down. It's the right thing.
Now, personally, I remember Walmart. I got a credit card so I could get a discount on a Canucks hockey jersey.
Yeah.
See, the right reasons, Bob, because the Canucks were in the playoffs and did quite well. But they sent me a notice saying, oh, we're boosting our interest rate on the credit card to 29.9%, almost 30. And they haven't sent a notice saying credit card costs are coming down. So consumers aren't enjoying any break, as far as I can see, from a drop in interest rates.
Not on the credit cards, as you point out, no. No, as a matter of fact, in a contraction, one of the worst things is short rates going down. And that confirms. Now, the street has been abuzz for the last number of weeks that, oh, the Fed's going to cut rates and that'll be good. No. Interest short rates going up with the Fed following is part of the boom. And then as part of the bust, short rates go down, such as Treasury bills, and the Fed follows. And we've got a chart here, S&P against the T-bill rate. And we picked it for a time when the T-bill rate was plunging. And guess what? The S&P was plunging as well. So falling short rates after a boom is a disaster.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Here are some of the headlines that caught Bob's attention. The first one, Microsoft buys nuclear power plant to run AI, and is it showing us the future?
Yeah, indeed. That was the Three Mile Island one where many years ago they had a slight steam leak. And it was no major problem. And then the world went hysterical about atomic or let's put it this way, nuclear generation of electricity. So it was just maintained since. Now, this is a good step. Microsoft is looking at it and saying, hey, now what you want in electrical power generation is a dense source of energy. And nuclear is about as dense as you get. And then you go up from there and you've got coal and natural gas. Natural gas is a very good fuel these days for generating electricity. So, it's now then this, finally nuclear power may, the advantages of it are could overwhelm all of the superstitions out there that some background promoters have kept stirring up over all of these decades. So, no, it'd be very, very healthy to go to nuclear, particularly now where you've got quite modular plants of modest size. And you can kind of build them near to where the consumer is, thereby avoiding long, long transmission lines and also transmission losses. So, the nuclear side of electrical power is looking good.
Now, of course, one of the reasons people are worried about it is the Fukushima disaster after their massive earthquake more than a decade ago. It's still leaking radiation into the ocean. And this Google News article says it could take 30 years or more to finally get it under control.
Well, the problem with Fukushima is that they had built protective system walls and whatnot that would protect against the 100-year wave, and they got a 200-year wave that kind of made everything wet and screwed things up. So it was a matter of protecting the nuclear plant. And in that case, from a tsunami wave, and in the case of, well, actually, there was nothing really wrong with Three Mile Island when it vented a little steam. So, but anyways, it's good to see people understanding that nuclear power is quite practical.
Yes, also Fukushima 1960s technology, we've advanced a lot further.
Yeah.
That from now. So hopefully they get that cleaned up. Now, it says atmospheric radiation there is now normal, although Japan did up what they call the normal limit after the disaster to encourage people. They also went around finding homeless people around railway stations to work there for a day, and they would absorb a year's worth of allowable radiation in a day of cleaning up.
Oh, I
Fukushima. See. So, yeah, they called them human sponges.
Oh, Okay.
Not the nicest term, but no. Probably accurate. Now, we have the Department of Homeland Security says FEMA doesn't have enough money for hurricane season, but the White House now says, yeah, no matter what, we'll be there.
Yeah. No, it was an ironical situation where they madly spent huge amounts on illegal immigrants. Then their main budget for disasters, they'd spent the money on migrants. So, of course, they'll come up with more money, but I love the irony of the situation because it was pointing out just the stupidity of government these days.
Hillary Clinton, in this headline, warns that allowing free speech on social media means we lose control.
Isn't that the case? Yep. Yeah, that was a very honest statement by her, and gives the whole thing away. They want controls over the media, the social media, and because they want to control what people are thinking and writing. And, of course, in Canada with the Trudeau government, they've really got making some draconian moves there with certain Bill C-63 or something like that. So, yeah, there could be a time in Canada here that you and I discussing this matter and this stuff like this would be monitored, and then we'd have to face some court thing in Ottawa.
Now, Canadian rocker Bryan Adams has come out against this internet control bill, saying the government wants a tax on internet services to provide more help for Canadian and Indigenous artists, but he said it'll do exactly the opposite.
Okay, that's interesting.
And
glad to hear somebody speaking up against it.
Well, Bryan Adams, pretty liberal guy, so you know, he's concerned.
Yeah.
You know, as he said, kids want to rock.
Yeah.
And the summer of 69, all those great hits of his, Cuts Like a Knife. And I also know that his manager, Bruce Allen, is against Canadian content rules because he said, again, you know, you're promoting mediocrity because the Canadian content rules are so artificial. And he said, Bryan Adams, for example, a Vancouver kid, was ruled non-Canadian by the Canadian government.
Yeah.
So when the government starts deciding, you know, who gets to say what, people are in danger of losing their ability to speak up.
These other headlines are about.
Yes, because our next headline is thousands protest in Hungary demanding end to state media propaganda.
Yeah, they're on to it. Yeah. People around the world, so to speak, are finally realizing that there's been too much government and too much propaganda.
From Yahoo, Costco's gold bars fly off shelves as bullion prices smash records.
Yeah, it was last year sometime that Costco started, you know, in their shelves. Had, I guess, small wafer bars of gold.
Yeah.
And their customers were buying it. And I thought at the time, oh, this is good. This is very constructive. And then you now got a headline that, you know, there's been a very popular move in gold. And so maybe now this surge in gold is up to a point where there should be a correction in both gold and silver. So, yeah, a little overdone. But essentially, gold is in the early stages. The real price is in the early stages of a long advance. And the gold stocks generally are the early stages of a long advance. And there will be ups and there will be downs. And, oh, then, of course, we've got our list of junior golds, which yesterday Ross told me that since we made the recommendation in December with our list of, I think it was 11 stocks, that they're up 10% on average. How about that? That's kind of good.
And going along with precious metals, will Russia buying drive silver beyond $50 an ounce?
Well, I don't know. And I read the article and I thought, silver bugs are always a little wild to hide anyways, and so they were extrapolating up to something about Russia buying silver. And, you know, I've seen silver bugs promoting nonstop year after year and always on the basis that fundamentally supply and demand, there is a shortage of silver every year. But then the financial markets, silver is also a financial item. And then the financial markets can whipsaw silver all over the place and mess these guys up. So, but gold and silver are a little overbought in here now. That's all we're going to say.
Well, we do have the BRICS nations meeting in Russia the 22nd to the 24th of this month. And again, the discussion is going to turn to what they call the unit, their proposed currency to replace U.S. dollar as the prime mover of international trades.
Yeah. And well, this is driven just strictly by envy, you know. Certain countries are envious of the privileges that go with hosting the senior currency, which is now the U.S. dollar, and a long time ago, it was sterling, and the markets determined that. And this business have come. Now, when they first started talking about the BRIC thing more than a year ago, so the idea was they're going to have this currency unit convertible into gold. And then they said also gold and commodities, which the idea of having a currency convertible into commodities, you knew at that moment that those guys didn't know what they were talking about. So and you got like Argentina owes huge amounts of U.S. dollars due and payable in New York. And they're finding it very uncomfortable to go from a weak, small currency into a firm senior currency. It's an ancient problem. Gresham wrote about it in the 1550s. He wrote about the problem of servicing debt from a weak currency into a firm senior currency. And this is, of course, what's happening. So this is what, you know, you got Argentina complaining about the U.S. dollar. And, of course, it's purely mercenary. They're complaining because they owe so many of them into New York. Now, this is also the mechanism that makes the senior currency chronically firm in a post-bubble contraction. All the debt, most of the debt written is due and payable in New York. So then the market forces then get bent on paying dollars into New York. So that means that on the other side, like Argentina, they got to sell something in order to get their hands on dollars in order to meet their obligations in New York. So if they're complaining now about a firm U.S. currency, just wait until a few years from now. It'll become very painful to service debt into a strong senior currency.
Yes, now the proposed unit is worth roughly $20 U.S. It's already trading on some markets. Even though officially it doesn't exist, it's supposed to be 40% backed by gold, 40% and the rest by fiat currency. Ethiopia wants to join that group. I don't know how strong their currency would be.
Good grief, that's unusual.
Yeah,
that really is a very minor.
But then you look at how much foreign aid has gone into Ethiopia. They might owe a penny or two in American dollars.
Right. Yeah. Oh well.
And the U.S. still has pennies. Canada does not.
Yeah.
Because it costs more than a penny to make a penny.
Yeah, I found in my little bag I got here of old coins an 1859 British penny. Copper and a good size.
It's the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah. So I sort of just quickly kind of priced them out, and my little gold poke, you know, a little leather, soft leather chamois gold poke with the coins in it, I put a round number on it, and I figured, hey, there's $1,000 worth of coins in this thing. And then, of course, also back in the 30s and 40s, they came out in Canada with a 25-cent bill, a banknote, and it was called a shin plaster for some reason or other. So anyways, I think there's even the 25-cent banknote in there. So, and as I said, they were called shin plasters. I have no idea why they were called that.
Hmm. Headline, mortgage rates undergo one of their biggest single-day jumps.
Oh, yeah, that's a scary one. When things move fast and in the wrong way, this is a warning.
So much for the central banks again setting what they call the trend setting rate. It's pretty artificial, isn't it? Isn't it the market?
Oh yeah, now
the bond market that actually,
Jim, the T-bill rate will go down. It's already heading down. The Fed has no alternative but to follow. So in the bus, short rates go down and long rates go up.
And our last headline, U.S. futures rise as Hong Kong plunges most since the Lehman collapse.
Yeah, that was 2007, 2008 yeah. Was the Lehman bust. Now that then is an important headline that Hong Kong got a plunge the worst since Lehman. Yeah, that's serious stuff.
Although, again, the Chinese stock markets had revived. Perhaps this is just a temporary correction?
No, I don't know. I would say that they had when their high was, a year or so ago.
That there was new life in them.
And I think they're into a recession and a lengthy bear market for their stock. And what's more, the recession will spread to the rest of the world. And U.S. is not saying it's in a recession, but you get headline about a certain series plunging or collapsing. So you got individual economic items in the U.S. Occasionally they'll generate a headline about dropping or plunging.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, we had a good time today and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.